So my name is Navin Anirudha Das. I'm from Switzerland, but I live part of my life in Mayapur, India, West Bengal. Most of the year I travel and distribute Prabhupada's books, and I come here regularly. So thanks for inviting me. I'm also a guest, so I'm one of you. We all have to do our part to make this festival, this Sunday feast, work out. So we're going to read a verse from Bhagavad Gita. Anybody has got any favorite verse which you like to hear about? What do you want to hear about today? What are your expectations? I know you all want prasadam, but you have to earn that. You have to put in 40 minutes of attentive listening. So what do you want to hear about? You must have come with some idea in mind. Aham sarvasya prabhava, matva sarvam pravartate. Which number is that?
10.8.
Alright, that's what it is. Please put all your mobile phones on silent mode. Unless you're a surgeon who is on duty, on call. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, 10th chapter, text number 8. Aham sarvasya prabhava matta sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajate mam buddha bhava samanvita. Translation: I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who perfectly notice, engage in my devotional service, gain me with all their hearts. I got a question. Can you please move all a little bit closer? Because it will be a lot of people who come in for darshan. So if you can move away from the doors and just come like 3 meters closer. Purport. A learned scholar who has studied the Vedas perfectly and has information from authorities like Lord Chaitanya, and who knows how to apply these teachings, can understand that Krishna is the origin of everything in both the material and spiritual worlds. And because he knows this perfectly, he becomes firmly fixed in the devotional service of the Supreme Lord. He can never be deviated by any amount of nonsensical commentaries or by fools. All Vedic literature agrees that Krishna is the source of Brahma, Shiva, and all other demigods. In Atharva Veda, it is said, it was Krishna who in the beginning instructed Brahma in Vedic knowledge and who disseminated Vedic knowledge in the past. Then again, Narayana Upanishad says, the Supreme Personality Narayana desired to create living entities. The Upanishads continue, from Narayana, Brahma is born. From Narayana, the patriarchs are also born. From Narayana, Indra is born. From Narayana, the 8 Vasus are born. From Narayana, the 11 Rudras are born. From Narayana, the 12 Adityas are born. This Narayana is an expansion of Krishna. It is said in the same Vedas, Brahmanyo Devaki Putra. The son of Devaki, Krishna, is the Supreme Personality. Narayana Upanishad. Then it is said, in the beginning of the creation, there was only the Supreme Personality, Narayana. There was no Brahma, no Shiva, no fire, no moon, no stars in the sky, no sun. In Maha Upanishad, it is also said that Lord Shiva was born from the forehead of the Supreme Lord. Thus the Vedas say that it is the Supreme Lord, the creator of Brahma and Shiva, who is to be worshipped. In Moksha Dharma, Krishna says, the patriarchs, Shiva and others, are created by me. So they do not know that they are created by me, because they are deluded by my illusory energy. In the Varaha Puran it is also said, Narayana is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and from him Brahma was born, from him Shiva was born. Lord Krishna is the source of all generations, and he is called the most efficient cause of everything. He says, because everything is born of me, I'm the original source of all. Everything is under me. No one is above me. There is no supreme controller other than Krishna. One who understands Krishna in such a way, from a bona fide spiritual master, with references from Vedic literature, engages all his energy in Krishna consciousness, and becomes a truly learned man. In comparison to him, all others who do not know Krishna properly are but fools. Only a fool would consider Krishna to be an ordinary man. A Krishna conscious person should not be bewildered by fools. He should avoid all unauthorized commentaries and interpretations on Bhagavad Gita and proceed in Krishna consciousness with determination and firmness. Om Ganati Marandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupam Gadamayam Dadhati Swapatantikam Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So I'm very grateful to be here amongst all of you in the Sri Sri Radhavallabh Temple in ISKCON, Melbourne. In this part of Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, is explaining to his dear devotee and friend, Arjuna, about the opulences of the Supreme, his own opulences. So Krishna, he's not shy, he's not hung up. He tells it in a very nonchalant, in a very straightforward way. This is how it is. Krishna doesn't have to hide anything. He's not scared to reveal his own nature, his own personality. So here in this verse, he's stating that he's the source of all spiritual and material worlds. We know that everything which is manifest is an expansion of the energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as such, nothing exists outside of the reign of the dominion of the Lord. Now if you think, okay, that might be the case, but at least, you know, my bedroom, that's outside of the dominion of the Lord, right? At least my computer, or my mobile phone, or my VCR, or whatever, that's my space, right? No. That is also the Lord's energy. So He's pervading all of creation. Everything is emanating from Him. So He knows all His parts and parcels, because they have come from Him. So if we think for a moment that we can act independently outside of the nature, outside of the energy of the Lord, and we can hide something from Him, we are in illusion. We are fools. We are bewildered. Because the Lord is there within our heart. He knows our each and every move. He knows even before we know that we want to make a shortcut and we want to put in a little trick here, you know, and do it our own way. The Lord knows. And He allows us to do. He allows the living entity to do whatever the living entity desires. The Lord is very kind. Upadrashta numantas cha bharta bhokta maheshwara paramatmeti cha pyukto desmin purushakpura. He's allowing the living entity to act by giving him knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness, by being the overseer and the permitter. Just like sometimes you have made up your mind determinedly that you want to do something, but you cannot do it. Has it ever occurred to you? You've tried to do something and it just, you couldn't do it. It was just not possible. It has. And at other times you're faced with an insurmountable task, with something which is very difficult. It is not achievable. But sometimes, miraculously, it just happens. Why is that so? Because if the Lord is not agreeing, if He's not allowing you to do something, you cannot do it. We cannot stop even the blinking of our eyelids for a minute. We're not in control. We might think, I am very much in control.
You can control your mobile phones by putting them into switch off or silent mode. Yes. But even that, sometimes, we're not in control. So, you might think, I'm very much in control. I have come here to this great country of Australia, and now I'm very much in control. Why? Because I can choose whether I will buy my groceries in Coles or in Woolworths. So I'm in control. But just because you have more options, does that mean you're in control? No. It just means that you have more variety of things to choose from. But you're still not in control. When you go to the store and all of a sudden your favorite brand of ginger beer, you know, Bundaberg or whatever it is, it's just sold out. And you have to live with it. You have to accept it. It's reality. And you don't have time to go to another store to get it. So even though you've got money and you have the skills, you have the looks, you have the talent, you have whatever it takes, and you're ready and you say, I'm here, I want this, I deserve this. They say, sorry, sold out. Just like in India sometimes. You travel and you go to a restaurant and they bring you water and they ask, you know, ice or no ice? Right, they ask sometimes, ice or no ice? Then you say, ice, please, ice. And they say, sorry, no ice. You understand? It's an inside joke. Those of you who have not been to India, you will not understand. You think you have options, but factually speaking, you do not have options. The waiter already has made up his mind what he wants you to eat. And there is no choice. But still, he will bring out the menu and he will go through the whole motions. But he already knows what he will serve you. Right? So in the same way, we're here in this world and we think, oh no, I'm very great. I'm in control. I can choose. I can make it happen. And we get very disappointed when we are faced with reality that our choices are very small. They're very minimal. Basically, we have two choices. We can choose Krishna or we can choose Maya. It is very simple. We can choose to be under the protection of the internal energy, or we'll have to deal with Maya, with the external energy. And from there on, it goes pretty much automatic pilot. Everything happens very much naturally. And we become bewildered. Jayato Vishapung Sang, Sangat Seshu Bijayate, Sangat Sanjayate, Kama, Kama, Krodha Bijayate. We contemplate the object of the senses. We think, oh, this is wonderful. I want a car like this. I want a house like this. I want a man or a girl, a woman like this. I want a dress like this. Then you have to go out. You have to make the money. You have to do what it takes to get those things. You have to pay the price. And you're running and running and running. And at one point, you never stop. You never question. You never think for a moment, where am I running to? What am I running from? What am I trying to achieve here? We go out to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. People are running so fast. And we ask them, my dear sir, my dear lady, how come you're supposed to have a great quality of life? Why are you running? People have maybe 30 or 40 minutes for lunch break. Now, I have a guest house in Mayapur, which is in West Bengal, communist state, for almost 50 years. Some people consider it very, materially speaking, backwards place. But I have about 10 people staff. They have a good hour for lunch break. They don't run from one place to the next, stuffing some dry sandwich into their face while they talk on a mobile phone, while they run to some place to make a payment and buy something and then run back to their job. They sit down, they wash their hands, they eat their tiffin, in style. It may not be opulent, it may not be extravagant, but they have peace of mind. But nowadays, who has got peace of mind? Who is taking their meals in a peaceful way? Any one of you, raise your hands. How many meals a week are you taking in peace of mind? And how many meals are you taking on the go, on the run? Just in between, multitasking, driving, eating, drinking, phoning, calling, emailing, yeah? Now you may think, that is advancement, that is wonderful, that is spectacular, I can do so many things at once. But does it make your experience better? Does it increase your quality of life? Because you're constantly in connection, in communication with so many other people through your BlackBerry or through Facebook or through email. Does it increase the fabric, the human fabric of interaction? No, it does not. Because if you would actually call up your mates and your buddies and you ask them, okay, you know what, I'm in town now, can I come over? Oh no, I'm too busy, you know, let me check my schedule. You know, next week on Friday from 1:30 to 1:45, we could meet. But it has to be like business lunch, you know, because I'm really busy. And then you say, all right. And then in the meantime, you reschedule two or three times. You cancel, you move it around. You have to undergo more pain to see that person than you get pleasure from seeing that person. So then you feel, what's the point in it? Formerly, you'd have friends, you just walked over to their house, if they're there, you go, you speak with them, and you have an interaction. Nowadays, you can't do that. You can't just roll up in somebody's place and knock on the door and ring. And they're like, what do you want? What do you want? You know? Just like you come to any country, and the customs people, you know, the immigration, they go like, what's your purpose of your visit? How long are you going to stay? And then when I tell them, 11 days, they're like, why only 11 days? I say, that's all you get. I'm only here 11 days. Huh? So, the quality of life is conspicuously absent. Even though we're living fast lives, we're living so-called affluent lives, successful lives, but our quality of life is non-existent. We do not even have the luxury to sit down and to eat two square meals a day in a peaceful setting, in a family atmosphere with peace of mind. We do not have it. It is not possible. People have to make big arrangements to meet the family twice or three times a year to have some social interaction. But otherwise, everybody is living out of a brown paper bag and running their own ways. Huh? So, Krishna is explaining here in Gita that nothing is separate from Him. He's the source of spiritual and material worlds. And the people, the wise people, who know this, they engage in devotional service and they worship Him with all their hearts. So if you want to be wise, sumhedasa, not alpamedasa, if you want to be smart, everybody comes here to this country to gather knowledge, to gather wealth. So you want to become smart, right? You want to become successful in order to make more money, in order to enjoy a better quality of life. But Krishna is explaining here how you can become smart. You don't have to become an MBA, a BA, PhD. Okay, at least a CPA. You should be a chartered accountant, right? Something you have to be. You can't be a nobody. You can't be a nothing. But you can be a wise person just by knowing that whatever exists is an emanation from the Lord's energy. And by worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the process of bhakti yoga, of devotional service, you can become free from the pangs of material existence. If you know this, you know more than 99% of all the people on this planet. So let us study Bhagavad Gita and worship Krishna with our heart and souls. Because Krishna is Bhaktaram Yagatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Suridam Sarvabhutanam Gyatamam Shantirichati. He is the well-wishing friend of all living entities. He is the person who is enjoying all the sacrifices and penances and austerities. You might think, no, it's Brahma. He's the creator. It's Shiva. He's the boss. He's Shaktiman. He has the power, the potency. But we just read in the purport all these different quotes from the Puranas that all these empowered demigods, they're emanations from Krishna. They're just expansions from Krishna's potency. It is not acceptable to bribe government officers. Just like, if you want to take a shortcut and not wait in the line for prasadam, it is not acceptable that you bribe the person who's giving out the plates, you know? You just put him $2 in his pocket and you say, okay, you know, it's all right. And you move in, you cut the line. It is not acceptable. In the same way, to bribe government officials, it is not acceptable. It is not considered legitimate. So in the same way, to think that, can you all move a little bit front? Because there's people moving in and out. Just those who are sitting in the back, move a bit more closely. Thank you. So to think that you can bribe government officials by, oh, I want something. So, danam dehi, rupam dehi, upapatyam dehi, 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 I want. I want so many things. So give me all those things. And I will do the little puja. I will do the little sacrifice, the little yagya to get my wants. But that is very foolish. That is very short-sighted. Because Krishna, He's the Lord of all the demigods. Akama sarva kamo va moksha kamo dara di tivrena bhakti yogena yajita purushaparam. The Lord is there in your heart. He knows what you need. He knows what you want. And He's ready to give it to you. But are we turning to Him in love? Or are we thinking, no, let me go to this agent, let me go to this person and strike a deal? Krishna is ready to give us everything. He's ready to give us the whole world. But can we handle it? Can we take it? Can we deal with it? Can we even manage our own little flat and our little car and our own little existence and not become bewildered, not become infatuated and think, oh, I'm God. Why are you God? Because I can choose. I've got choice. I've got choices to make. We should not try to make those shortcuts. For we will be always be sent to the back of the line. Just like there's a story of a person. You can also relate this to this. He wanted to just bypass the line. So he just went in front of the line. I know in certain cultures, wherever you see a line, you just stand behind it because you feel good, you know? Oh, there's a line, so it must be something good. They must have something important here, so let me just line up. But this person wanted to be smart, so he just went in front of the line. He said, I don't want to wait. I'm impatient. I want to get this now. So he went up to the counter, and the person, the lady who was there, said, you know, you can't do this. You have to go to the back of the line. So he went to the back of the line and then he came back to the counter. So the lady said, didn't you hear? You have to go to the back of the line. He said, no, but somebody already was there, you know? Anyway, the point is, we try to be smart asses. We try to always get a little bit of benefit, a little bit more. We think, oh no, I deserve more. Just like now, you drive from Mayapur to Kolkata, they open these convenience stores like 7-Elevens. They called more. More. I want more. I want more stuff. So if you want more, you can go to more and get more stuff. But if you want Krishna, you have to go to Krishna's temple and associate with Krishna's devotees. And you have to see the form of their lordship, Sri Sri Radha Vallabha. And say, Krishna, hey Govinda, you look wonderful today, gorgeous. Or do you think, okay, here is my shopping list, you know? Aunt Meena needs a new sari, the kid has to pass his exam, I'm not feeling super, please do something about my health. Don't you think the Lord knows already what's going on? He has created it all. It's His creation. It's His game. He has made the rules. And He can change the rules. So why do we bother Him with our petty little problems? All He's interested is that we turn towards Him and we cry out with love and devotion, hey Krishna, hey Govinda. And we don't think, oh, this is not the Aussie way. You know, I'm an Aussie now. I have to do it the Aussie way. But what is the Aussie way? The Aussie way is, whatever is good for you, that's fine. Huh? Give everybody a fair go. Roll with it. If it's fine for you, it's fine for everybody, right? So if that's the case, then for me, hey Krishna, hey Govinda, this is what I like. So that's fine. So let's do that. Why everybody wants to conform with others and think, oh, now here I'm in this country, so I have to blend in. I have to become like them. Because there's so many of them and there is only a few of us. But if you go according to numbers, there is 1 billion Indians and there's 20 million Aussies. So then everybody would have to do what the 1 billion people do. But the point is, we should become smart, we should become intelligent. And for that we have to purify our intelligence by reading Bhagavad Gita as it is, which is given in the disciplic succession coming down from Lord Sri Krishna through the Guru Parampara. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshantite gyanam gyaninas tatvadarshina. If you want to become smart, and not just a smart ass, but if you actually want to become smart, you have to study Bhagavad Gita. Then you will actually know for a fact what is what. Before that, you will just know how to push the buttons. That's not real wisdom. That's just knowing how to manipulate material energy a little bit. And it's not meaningful. Nobody cares that you have 5 terabytes of so-called information on your hard drive. If that is not adding to your wisdom, if that is not making you actually smart, actually wise, if that is not making you happy and satisfied, what is the use of all your so-called knowledge and education? It would be like a big burden, like a big turban. If you're wearing a big, huge turban, and so many ornaments and jewels, it's just a big disturbance. It's just a botheration. So we should simplify our lives, not make them more complicated. We should become more happy, more joyful, more illustrious, not more depressed. You have not come here to imitate the ways of the people of this land. You have come from a great land. Bharata bhumi to hoila manusha janma jar jamaka kari karapara upakar. You have taken birth in this great land of Bharatvarsha. So this is a great heritage. This brings responsibility. So your responsibility is to practice your culture, your heritage, and to share it with others. But if you are not happy yourself, how can you share it with others? I'm taking one look at your face, and if you look depressed, if you look sad, I don't want to have anything to do with you. I will not buy your book, and I will not eat your food, and I will not hear to what you've got to say, because you look miserable. So our first and foremost duty is to be happy in Krishna consciousness ourselves. If you're not happy, you can't convince anybody else. Physicians, heal thyself. If we are not cured from the disease of greed, of lust, of anger, of false egotism, if we are intolerant, impatient with ourselves and everybody else, how can we attract others to these teachings of Bhagavad Gita? It will be very difficult. You can't say like in school, do as I say but not as I do. That doesn't work. People don't become impressed by that. You have to live by example. People are ready to follow the precepts like that. So please take this mission of Bhagavad Gita, which is coming down from Lord Sri Krishna through the parampara of spiritual masters, and become wise. Don't be a fool. Don't become another fool. There are already so many fools who are just killing time, just running after the mirage in the desert. Just like an animal in the desert is running and running, and he thinks, oh, there must be an oasis. There must be just now coming. Success is just around the corner. Haven't you heard that before? Just give it a little more time, a little more effort, and then you will actually be able to attain your goal. Oh, in the meantime, a little bit of recession, a little bit of inflation. You just lost 50% of all your savings. No matter. Just try harder. Work more. take two jobs. Formally, one person in a household would earn, and that would be enough. All the people who are employed in my place, one person works, and 5 to 10 people live from that wage. Here, husband works, wife works, uncle works, grandfather works, son works, everybody works. Money, not enough. Amazing, isn't it? It's amazing. So somehow the numbers are not adding up, you know? You don't have to be a PhD in mathematics to do the math, to do the game, to figure out that this game is not working out. There is always two options, earn more or spend less. So to earn more might not always be possible, and it is also not always necessary. But we have to realize, how many things do I actually need? What do I actually need to be happy? Do I need all the stuff? Or do I just need a peaceful mind? Krishna consciousness means you can be anywhere and you can be well. You can be happy. You don't need anything. You're just happy because you know I'm a part and parcel of the Lord. That is very comforting. That is very soothing. So please visit this temple regularly. Make Krishna a greater part of your life. Study Bhagavad Gita as it is. And if you don't have it, they have it outside. You can purchase for minimal cost. And you can give this knowledge to others. And in this way, you will be able to make them fortunate. To give them something of value. Everybody's giving so many gifts, you know, Diwali and Christmas and birthday and this and that. And we're all buying stuff and giving stuff. But most of it is not so much meaning. There's not so much value to it. But we should give gifts of great value, which mean something, which will actually benefit that person. We've already gotten enough shoes. We've already gotten enough shirts. We've already gotten enough food. People need transcendental knowledge. And that is available in Bhagavad Gita. So please study Bhagavad Gita and enlighten your life by coming in contact with the Krishna Son. And then you can enlighten other people's lives. Otherwise, if people will ask you, so what does it say there in your scripture? You have to know. You can't just say, oh, I don't know. You have to know. But for that, you have to read. Now, most of you are from Indian origin. How many of you have studied Bhagavad Gita and know Bhagavad Gita in depth? If you would make a little quiz here, how do the three modes of material nature work? Little gizmo you buy, you have a 300 page booklet, you know, user's manual. Any mobile phone you buy, you get a user's manual in 12 languages. But this body, much more sophisticated, much more complicated than any mobile phone. Where is your user's manual? How do you know how this works? Oh, I know. But it doesn't look like it. It doesn't look like you're doing too good of a job. Do we know how to utilize this body to the best of its ability? No, we don't. That's why we need to read Bhagavad Gita. This is the user's manual for this world. Krishna is explaining how the body is working and how the soul, by accepting the false ego, is working, is subjugated under the material energy. Simply because of the ahankar principle. Simply because of false ego. We think, I am this body and I can enjoy it. And therefore, we become bound in this material world. So unless we know these things for a fact and we have actual realization, we will still be prisoners. We'll not be free. We'll always be bound up. We'll always run from here to there, constantly on the lookout. But what is the difference between a human being and a dog? A dog has got no ability to reason. If you throw a bone, that dog has to jump. There's no choice. He has to jump. But if Maya throws the bone of sense gratification of another toy or another good-looking member of the opposite sex, and you have to look and you have to react, that means we're not better than this dog. We don't realize I am different. I am not this body. I don't need this. But we're still subjugated. Why? Because of Ahankar principle. So how do we come free from the Ahankar principle? Mahat sevam dvaram ahur vimuktes. By serving the saintly persons, the devotees of the Lord, by rendering service and offering obeisances and chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. You can become free from the Ahankar principle. And by bathing your intelligence in the nectarian words of Bhagavad Gita, you can learn to distinguish, to separate illusion from reality. And if you don't know that, then you're a fool. You might be a well-educated fool, you might be a well-dressed fool, you might be a fool with good manners, but you're a fool nonetheless. So let us become wise by accepting the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, of making our lives fortunate and making other people fortunate as well. That is your responsibility. That is our each and every responsibility. We owe it to ourselves. And we owe it to the whole world. So thank you for taking this process seriously. We have one simple request. Please chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Take this process seriously and spread it to all other nooks and corners of this world. And in this way you can actually become peaceful. You can actually become blissful. That is the greatest gift. So you can all cherish this gift. Please don't take it lightly. Please don't think, oh, another day, another book, another day, another Sunday feast, you know. We're just going through the motion. No. Krishna consciousness is not a spectator sport. You're not just pushing the buttons on a remote control. This is your life. This is your destiny. This is your future. Take charge of your life. Make the best of it. It is your chance. If you blow it, it's your problem. You cannot blame it on anybody else. It's not the people in Canberra. It's not the people in Delhi. It's not the people on the moon. It's us. We can make it. You might say, oh, I'm not so educated, I'm not so rich, I'm not so this, I'm not so that. But welcome to the new world. You're in Australia now. You can make it happen. This is the land of opportunity. It's up to you, mate. So make it happen and actually become successful. You cannot delegate this responsibility to anybody else. It is our responsibility to become Krishna conscious. Thank you for your attention. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Any questions to this topic? You still owe me 3 minutes. Yes. Nobody has to ask you, are you feeling happy or not? Happiness is something you just feel in your heart. When your heart is feeling very full and you feel very content and very comfortable and you're not self-conscious, you're not always thinking, oh, did I put the right shirt on today? Did I shave, not shave? You know, am I nicely looking or not? No. You're happy. You're totally oblivious to your body, to your surroundings. That is real happiness. That is true happiness. So that can only be experienced in Krishna consciousness. That is the happiness of the soul. Not that you take some intoxication and you lie on the street. And if people want to help you, you say, oh, I'm happy, I'm fine, everything is great, it's all going wonderful. That is not the happiness we're talking about. So nobody can tell you when you're happy. You know when you're happy. Just like when you've eaten a good meal. Nobody has to ask you, so how was it? You just have to look at the faces. If it's very quiet and all you hear is the spoons, you know, then you know it's a good meal, right? But if everybody is kind of like speaking and talking and this and that, you know, it's not very good, you know. There is too much blah blah going on. So you will know. And you do know.
So if I feel that if I go back to my motherland,
yes,
and I enjoy my life better over there instead to be here, and other sibling compulsions, they try to create my mind and force me to be in this land, so what do I do? I'm on the Mundo dilemma.
Yeah, you're in a dilemma because you're like the cow who thinks that the grass on the other side of the fence is greener. You know the cow?
Yeah.
Is standing and is looking down on the earth. And it sees earth and some grass. So it's brown patches and some green stuff. But then it looks horizontal over on the other side of the fence, and because it cannot see the ground, it only sees the top. It's you know, it's an optical illusion. So it thinks the grass is greener on the other side. But there is this damn fence here, you know? So let me go to the other side, and then I'll be happy, then I'll enjoy. But if you would be standing on the other side of the fence and looking down, there would also be earth and dirt and some grass. So the grass is not greener on this or on that side. But unless you come to the platform of stopping for a moment and actually going inside, not always going outside, you know, but going inside, you will never figure it out. You will always be misled. The grass is not greener on the other side. There is the good and the bad everywhere. In all the 6,400,000 species of life. Whether you're born in this country or in that country. People are so much different, they're actually all the same. I travel the world every year once or twice. People are so different, they're actually all the same. They're people. You know? And some like this and some like that. But the point is, everybody's looking for that happiness, for that love, for that satisfaction. But that only comes if you're in contact with Krishna in your heart and you know who you are. As long as we're still mad and we still think, I'm Napoleon or I am Caesar or I am this or I am that, there's no question of happiness. So when you see that you have become a wannabe, you want to be this, you want to be that, you want to be the other thing, there is no happiness in that. As long as we are playing games to try to imitate others, we cannot be happy. Only if you actually surrender to your own identity, to your own calling, then you can be happy. And then it doesn't matter whether you live in Australia or in India or in Europe, or that's secondary. What is primary is that you are practicing devotional service. Because you're feeling that happiness. You're feeling that strong connection with the Lord. And the Lord is reciprocating with you on a daily basis. You can achieve that level if you want to. Consciousness creates reality. If you desire something strongly, you can make it happen. Simply by the power of your consciousness. Just like all of you, you have come here to Australia. Why? You desired it, so you made it happen. How? I don't know. You figured it out. In the same way, if you want to be Krishna conscious, you can figure it out, right? You're intelligent. So, we have to be very attentive. What is my consciousness? What are my desires? What do I want to achieve? Okay? So, I've made you work overtime. There's no money back. But there is prasadam and there is books out there. So I'd like to thank you all very much for coming here to this program. Please make this temple your temple. Make this home your home. And come here regularly. There is programs all throughout the week. You can come here to chant, to read, to associate, to ask questions, to take prasadam, or to just be and feel good. Feel like you're in your zone. and then go out and do whatever you need to do to be successful in life and to become happy. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Shri Ralava Radha Vallabha ki jai. Shri Shri Jagannath Valadev Subhadra Devi ki jai. Shri Shri Gauri Thai ki jai. Gaur Premanandi. Hari Hari Gaur. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.